Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Okay, let's wake up, everybody. Word. Like old people. Okay.
Are y'all awake? Everyone sit up straight. Take a deep breath. Blow it to the side. Okay, great. Okay, let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Oh, there you go. Ooh, yeah, pens. And your notes. Yeah, your bulletin or whatever. Yeah, get out your bulletin. Get out your bulletin. No lesson plan today. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. A-C-T-S, Acts chapter 2. I was up all night last night. My son had a football scrimmage yesterday. Football season's back in full swing. And I couldn't go to sleep. I'm laying in bed just thinking about all these plays in my head. And I'm not a coach. I was just watching. But I think I just got a condition. I need to go to FA, Football Anonymous. Got issues. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. And we pray that we get it today, that we would be inspired to get involved in a small group, and that we would take our commitment and our involvement to another level. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, real quick, you got your Bible out. If you take this little card out, see this little card right here? If you could take that out. Here's what we're going to do. At the end of the service, we're going to collect from you the little perforated section that you fill out. What I would like you to do right now before we start, because I don't want to take a lot of time at the end, There's a name, address, contact information, and when you would like to start a small or be involved in a small group. I'm going to ask you now just to take a second and fill it out. I do not want you to check whether you want to host, join, or already in one box in the top left. Leave that blank because I want to be able to explain to you what this is that we're going to do. But if just for sake of time, if you could fill out the rest of it, just take a minute, and I'm sure the fellas are going to have their wives do all the dirty work. But if you could just take a minute and do that, and we'll wait. And maybe I'll play some music for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, I know how to play. Oh, hell. Thank you. I don't want to. That's how when I met my wife, I made up some songs on the piano, and I used to play to her. We stayed together anyway. Just fill it out. Just take a second. Any visitors here from out of town while we're doing that? Just take a second. Yes, where are you from? Minnesota. Did you guys win yesterday, the football team, Minnesota College? You don't know? Yes, it did. Who else? Anybody here from out of town? Yes, where are you from? Riverside. It's hot up there, ain't it? It's hot down here. My goodness. Yes, where are you from? Bakersfield. Anybody else? Yes, where are you from?
Nebraska.
Wow. I'm thinking corn huskers. I'm thinking all the stuff's going through my mind. Where in Nebraska do you live? Omaha. Isn't that, what's in Omaha? Isn't that the Mutual of Omaha? That's where Wild Kingdom's from. Where are you from?
L.A.
Sorry. Where in L.A. do you live?
Manhattan Beach.
Okay. Everybody got the car filled out? Okay, let's go Acts 2. One more. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, where are you from? Philly. Oh, the city of brotherly love. Where in Philly?
Mount Airy.
Been there. I've been to Mount Airy Baptist Church. I should come back. Is that what you said? Does Philadelphia have the longest street on the planet, Broad Street? If you ever go to Philadelphia, wherever you are in Philly, you are always one block away from Broad Street, right? It goes the whole city. Okay, I love Philly. Philly, what's interesting about Philly is the city of brotherly love, but if you don't win, they kill you. Right? The football, baseball team, they will kill you. In the stadium in Philadelphia, they have a courthouse in the basement of the stadium. And during the football games and baseball games, they book people and sentence them and put them in prison right in the courthouse. That's a fact. That's the city of brotherly love. I guess they're trying to save you the time of going to court another day. We just do it right there. When I got saved in 1984, it was April 1984, I didn't automatically go to church because I didn't have a church to go to. That fall, someone did a chapel for our team. This summer, actually, and I got exposed to a Christian church, Horizon Christian Fellowship. Mike McIntosh did the chapel. So my wife and I just got married. We went to the chapel, to the church, and for the first time, we were in a Christian environment, in a Christian church with people singing. And it was about 700-800 people in the audience. It was at the old North Park Theater in North Park. And I remember sitting there crying. First time seeing Christians or people sing to God, you know, songs versus the hymns that I grew up in a Catholic church. It was definitely a different environment. And then the training camp started, and I didn't know the Bible, but I wanted to know the Bible. I wanted to know what it meant to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life. And I had no idea what to do, how to learn. And I didn't really have a church home at the time yet. I was just starting to go to this church. I didn't know anybody. And I was trying to figure out, how do I get connected in the church? How do I learn? How do I get accountability? And then a guy on the team told me that I needed to have someone disciple me. I said, what does that mean? Someone who will sit down and teach you. Disciple means disciplined learner. And I said, well, will you do it? And he said, no. He said, but you need to ask Sherman. Sherman was a running back on the team. He was 6'4", 225 pounds. Big, muscular dude, one of those dudes that just works out one day a week, but yet he looks like he should be in a magazine. He had 18-inch arms, big, well, something like that right there, the big old brother. Just wanted to give you a visual, you know what I'm saying? So you can understand what I'm saying. But anyway, he was a big dude, and, you know, he was loud, and he was obviously sought-out Christian. So I went up, I said, Sherman, I didn't know him that well. I was like, you know, will you disciple me? And now he's, you know, 4 inches taller than me. He looked down, and he says, I'll pray about it, brother. And to me, that meant I'll think about it, and maybe I'll say yes, maybe I'll say no. And I remember being, like, discouraged, like my whole future was resting on this guy saying yes or no. Because if he says no, where am I going to go? Because the only other Christian on the team told me no. Now he's telling me he's going to pray about it, brother. So a few days later, he told me he would do it, and it was Sherman, Gil Bird, and Kellen Winslow Sr. Kellen Winslow Jr., who just got drafted in the first round, was 1 year old. He was a baby. Now he's 6'5", and, you know, a monster in the NFL. But we met every single Tuesday. It was our day off for 3 hours. We studied the Bible. We learned. We prayed. We did all the stuff. And then on Wednesday, we had a Bible study for the team with all the wives at another player's house. Who actually, his daughters were one, and one was born at that time. They now go to the church. They're all grown women now. One goes to school here, and one works for the Chargers. And so the mom is going to church here. So we're still family. But that, I got baptized in that pool. That small group, what we call a home fellowship, made all the difference in my life. When you come to a big church like this, it's very easy to hide. It's very easy to not have any accountability, but yet think that you're a part of a church and experiencing the church experience when you're not. It is so critical to get in a small group. On September 11th, this Saturday, we're going to be unveiling in more detail the new small group model that we're going to kick off for 6 weeks. Now, we're not abolishing the model that we have now. This is a new thing that we're asking everybody to do because we want to get more people in small groups, not only in the church, but people that don't go to the church, and watch this, people who don't go to church at all, we want to get in. So I just want you to hit that in mind, because that's what we're going to be talking about, and that's what we're going to ask you to fill this out. I didn't want to put you on the spot and ask you to fill the whole thing out yet and hand it in, because I want you to understand what it is before we go. Now, in Acts, in the book of Acts, the book of Acts is right after the Gospels. In the Gospels, Jesus has a three-year ministry. He has 12 disciples. These 12 disciples are his learners. He's going to entrust the gospel to the whole world through these 12 disciples, and then 11 because Judas kills himself. And so these 12 disciples will end up becoming the 12 apostles, or 11 apostles plus one, because a disciple is a disciplined learner, an apostle is one sent forth to teach. So you will go from a learner to a teacher. You don't learn just to have information. You shouldn't go to church just to get information for yourself and experience for yourself. You should always get it to give it out. So the 12 disciples, 11 disciples, became the apostles. And so in chapter 1 of Acts, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the apostles. The Holy Spirit did the miracles, not the apostles. They were just there. The Rock Church, you don't want the Rock Church to be the Acts of Miles or the people. You want the Rock Church to be the Acts of God. Amen? God can always do better than us. And so the Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 1, Jesus ascends to heaven. Acts in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out in Pentecost. They speak in tongues. By the way, they spoke in human languages because all the Jews that had come from around the world heard the gospel in their own language. So they were speaking in all these different human languages, and supernaturally, that's what happened. Then Peter preaches a message, a sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. The question is, what do they do with these 3,000 people? Because there's no organized church like we have today. They started small groups in homes. Well, they started churches in homes. And we're going to look at that. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 40. It says in verse 40, "And with many other words he testified, Peter, and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them." Boom. I tell you, I've seen that before. That must have been exciting. You know what the Bible says? They received the word gladly. When you hear the gospel, you got to receive it with joy. Don't receive it, okay, I'll get saved. Okay, you can forgive me of all my sin and not send me to hell. Okay, I think I'll do that. No, you'd be like, thank you. I was on a plane once witnessing the stewardess, and I don't know how we got into it so fast, but before the plane even took off, she was sitting next to me, and I was jamming her up to get saved, asking her. She was living with a boyfriend. I said, are you living with your boyfriend? Are you guys having sex? You know what's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. The plane hadn't even taken off. So by the end, by the time we're landing, because, you know, I had to get her sporadically, she's sitting down again. I said, do you want to get saved? And she literally said yes and jumped up out of her seat and sat back down. She was excited because God was going to give her a new chance in life. These people received the word gladly. 3,000 people got saved. Now look what it says in verse 42. And what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions. We're not going to ask you to do that. And goods, and divided them among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What we're going to look at is these four things. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. First, doctrine. The apostles were the pastors. They were the ones who had the word. They taught in these house churches. Now, you have to understand, when we talk about these house churches and our small group, It's not the same exact thing, because what we have today is a church where you can get the apostles' doctrine or the doctrine of the word of God. The small groups we're talking about are not, we're not going to put the burden on the teacher, actually the host, to teach apostles' doctrine. We're going to give you a DVD that's going to do that for you. It's going to be very simple. Anybody can do it. What we want the host to do is just say, come to my house, have some cookies out, some punch, or whatever it is you want to do, some water, you know, or nothing. You can just have nothing. You may not be that kind of hospitality, you know, food kind of host. Just come in and, hey, sit down wherever you want to sit down. And that's okay. And All you have to have is be able to push the DVD in and hit play. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you know I got the voice-activated DVD. If you don't know what that is, it's my son. I just tell him to put it in, and he puts it in. So you may have to have the voice activated where you have someone in your house say, can you put the DVD in? And they go, yes, they put the DVD in. The DVD teaches, and then you have a lesson that takes you through the questions. It's not requiring you to be a Bible scholar. It is all requiring you to be a host. And we're going to train you and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be all there for everybody. But that's what we were asking people to. When it says host, there is no Bible teacher. And even a facilitator, it's really going to be even more simple than what we're doing now. The reasons we want to get everybody involved because of all the components it's going to give you. First is that. Is the word of God. And so it's going to be an opportunity for you to learn. The DVD is going to do the teaching. The lesson plan is going to do the instructing and guide you through discussion. And that's going to be so critical. So look in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We met every week. Every week. And we knew we were accountable. If you do not have an accountability relationship, you will not grow as much as you can than if you do. Period. In anything. If you want to lose weight, get in shape. You will lose more weight and get in shape quicker and better if you're doing it with somebody than if you're doing it by yourself. Period. That's just the way it is. If you know someone's going to ask you, call you up. How are you doing? Did you get drunk last night? Did you watch that show? Would you do pornography on the internet? Whatever it is you're struggling with, if somebody in your life can simply ask you these questions, guess what? You will be more apt to not do them. That's what this is about. Getting in a home, meeting people, talking to people. And look what it says in verse 42. The next thing they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, some people think fellowship is simply sitting around and talking about whatever. That is true. But this fellowship took it one step further. They talked about the things of God. When you have a bunch of Christians gossiping, that's not fellowship, that's gossip. Amen?
You know what I heard. You know what they did.
That's not fellowship. That makes God's stomach sick. But getting around saying, hey, what does this verse mean? And how can I pray for you? And how can I encourage you? And what did the pastor mean when he said this? And did you get the DVD from the sermon? Did you hear this? What did that mean? And tell me about this story. What does it mean when Moses said this, or Moses did this, or Joseph did this? That's fellowship. That is communion with God, talking about the things of God. Who do you talk to about the things of God? Many people call up the church, want to talk to a pastor. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know what? It's so much more effective if we call each other. You know, it's so much more effective if we call each other. People sometimes will call and want to talk to me and they're offended. I assume they could be offended because I say no. No. Talk to each other. I can't and will not try to do it all. And you don't have to talk to me. I have no magic wisdom. It's all in the Bible. There's a whole lot of people that know a lot, as much if not more than me, that can tell you the same thing because it's God who encourages us. It's God whose wisdom. And if you have a group of people that you meet with every week, guess what? You throw those questions out. And if no one knows the answer, guess what? You make a commitment to go find it for the next week. I could not wait to go to our small group. Actually, it was on Tuesday and on Wednesday. I could not wait because we would get in there with people who loved you, who you can trust, who you can ask questions and not worry about being embarrassed, even though we did have a little, you know, it was all athletes, so we talked a lot of trash about, you know, memorizing stuff. And, you know, it was fun, though. It was competitive. Matter of fact, he would give us verses. He would give us, like, a whole chapter to memorize. All right, brother, why don't you memorize Isaiah 53? 53 what? Oh, the whole chapter. And so, you know, we had, I'm not saying this is going to happen, this is not part of the curriculum we're going to give you, but this is what we had. But you know, it was so good because we would bounce it off each other, and I would see him in the locker room and, hey brother, you memorized your chapter? I was like, no, we'll break it down, tell me what you know, right there in the locker room. I don't know any yet. But you know what though, I knew I was going to see him 7 days a week, I saw him. You talking about accountability? You talking about developing good discipline and good habits? Without that, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't have had the accountability and the challenge to do it. That's what this small group did for me, and that's what I know it will do for you. Look what it says. Look what it says in the verse 42. In the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Breaking of bread, they serve communion. That's where they had church. We do that here. But you can break bread by having a potluck. I tell you, the potlucks were the best night. Got to eat everybody's food. But you know, something happens when you eat food with people. It does. When I went on my 40-day fast years ago, for 40 days I didn't eat with my family. And I could feel a disconnect happen, a distance. And then when we finally ate, we bonded together. Sit down and eat, and sit down with your family and watch them eat and don't eat. I mean, beside the fact you'd be like, might maybe a little irritated because you ain't got no food in your mouth. But there's a disconnect. And what we would do is we'd have potlucks all the time and we'd eat each other's food and we would start to bond together as people, as Christians, as brothers, as family. It was a family. I got baptized in the pool at this house. It was a family. It's right in Terra Santa. And we became a family of believers amidst this big church that we all kind of went to different churches at the time. But in here, there's so many people. Who do you know? This is the best way to get to know people. And then look what it says. In prayers, they were also in prayers praying for each other. So many people are so intimidated to pray out loud in public. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to pray. Don't. People say, let's pray. You're just like, okay. Don't call on me. That's all good for the beginning. But you know what? At some point, you have to grow past that. Imagine how effective you can be if you were someone who could pray for somebody anywhere, anytime. Amen. Imagine that. Imagine if you had the boldness, and you don't have to be, you know, bold like, you know, just a bold person, but you had the confidence to say, hey, can I pray for you right now, right here? We're going to unveil our vision statement Saturday night at the rally, Saturday night at Paradise Point. And we're going to unveil the vision statement, not only tell you what it is in words, we are having someone develop a little short video about a minute and a half long with special effects to show you the vision statement. And part of it is that we would transform culture. And I started to think about what that looks like. And without writing all the things that it could look like, because it's endless of how that looks. But one of the ways a transformed San Diego could look like, I want you to think about that. Excuse me. That through God, through us, could influence and transform culture. Culture means the way we do things. Imagine if one of the ways God transformed San Diego through us is that we, everywhere you went every day, the mall, Petco, Qualcomm, all the campuses, high school, college, elementary school, the parks, the beaches, everywhere you went, you saw somebody at least one time a day praying for somebody in public. I want you to imagine that. Praying for somebody. You walk into the mall, you see somebody. Hey, who's that? What's up with that? You go to San Diego State. You go to the beach. People praying for people. Wouldn't that kind of trip you out? You know what would happen? You'd probably walk by and go, and after they finish, you'd be like, yo, are you a Christian? Of course. What was that all about? I go to the Rock. You go to church. I go to the Rock too. Well, how come you ain't praying? Imagine the non-Christians. Everybody wants prayer at some time or another. Everybody, even atheists want prayer when stuff goes wrong. They call it to God too. There was atheists walking through Yosemite. He was appreciating all that evolution had created. How random choice made a beautiful blue sky, nice clear streams with rainbow trout, redwood trees, and just beautiful weather in this one planet in the whole universe that we know about that has life. How ironic that that all happened by accident. And just saying how this is all so great and there's no God and we're just all chance and we're going to die and go into the ground. There's no afterlife and that's it. And he was just glorying in all this accident and this chaos that happened to order itself by itself. And then one day, one of those big accidents started chasing him in the form of a bear. And this bear was chasing this man. And the bear happened to have, it was survival of the fittest. And the fittest was going to win. And this atheist run, he all of a sudden changed his theology and cried out to God. And said, oh God, please help me. And everything stopped, froze. All the birds started chirping. All the squirrels stopped squirreling. And the bear stopped running. And he says, God, help me. And his voice came out of heaven and says, God, I thought you just said there was no God. He said, oh, no, God, if you just answer my one prayer, I'll believe in you. I'll become a Christian. I'll become a pastor. I'll preach the gospel. Please save me from this bear. He goes, that's your only prayer. He says, no, please make this bear a Christian bear. God said, if you find make this bear a Christian bear, you'll worship me. Oh, yes, God, I'll preach against atheism. I believe that you created all this so beautiful. He says, your prayer is granted. This bear now is a Christian bear. And he went, phew. Birds started chirping. Squirrels started squirreling. Chipmunks started chipping. And all of a sudden, the bear got on one knee and started praying. Dear God, please bless this food I'm about to eat. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know what I learned in small group? I learned how to pray. One of the things in small group that happens in verse 44, it says, all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all. We don't do that. We pay our tithes here to the church. We run the church. But in the small group, there is opportunity for people to care for other people with over and above their tithes. We call it offerings. And I want to read a couple of stories of how very simply you can care for people in your small group and receive the care that you so desperately need that the church can't always give you. Example number one. It was two people, Tom and Christina. This was actually on Rock TV, so this is common knowledge. It says they were married for 3 years in the mid-20s. They had two boys, 1 and 3 years old. Christina was working and Tom was working and going to school full-time. They never had a honeymoon and never had gone away for a weekend since having children. Can anyone relate? Yeah. Amen. And even when you do go away, the wife's worrying about the kids. So, sometimes getting away and having some good quality time is hard. It says for their three-year anniversary, their small group sent them to a beachfront condo with a basket full of candles and stuff. Mm. There's a little smiley face in here, you know, for me. It says, you get the idea. With two kids and a limited income, everyone pitched in money so they wouldn't cost them one penny for the whole weekend, and they ate all paid for by their small group. The small group took turns watching the boys over the weekend, and they had from Friday to Monday. Now, if you called the church and said, listen, I ain't been away from my wife, and we have two kids, can you pay for it? We would say, no. Sorry, we just can't do that. And you can't do that for everybody. You just can't. But you know what? When your small group's together, and you meet somebody, and you love them, it just happens. That stuff happens. Another thing is the small group does ministry. And believe me, that's ministry. But I'm talking about getting people saved ministry. Read another story to you. A young lady in her mid-20s, her younger brother was in the hospital, and she was sitting in the hallway on the floor crying. A guy named Manny from the church approached her and told her it would be okay. Now, here's a woman sitting in the church, in the hospital crying. A guy from the Rock sees her, goes over to her and says, it's going to be okay. He doesn't know what's going on. She says, no, it won't. And he leaves. Then he comes back and says, I don't want to be pushy, but I just want to invite you to the church. Okay? And he gives her a flyer. He had a Rock flyer. And he gave it to her. And then it says, the next week, she came to church, heard about the small groups in church. that next week she went to a small group. Now, I want you to hear, I want you to think about this. What does it mean when someone is in the hospital, gets invited to a church, goes that same week, and that same week goes to a small group? Need. Need. We need to be there to meet the need. We all have needs. We need to be ready for that. And imagine if thousands of people which go to this church are out there fulfilling needs. You know what would happen? It's endless. She comes to church, goes to a small group that very same week. They're in the small group. They realize she's not saved. They share the gospel with her. She gets saved. This was last November. She's now co-leading a surf ministry group at the church. So simple. So simple. This is what happens when you're in a group and you are there to receive people and love them and care for them and encourage them. It's very simple. What we're going to do is that we are launching these, what we call Life Together groups, because that's the organization that has a DVD. We want to set up all these groups where for 6 weeks. That's it. We want you to do this for 6 weeks. If you want to continue after, we will help you with that. We pray that happens, but it's only a 6-week thing. And if you're in a small group, we ask you to do this. I'm doing this. My wife and I are doing this. And I got 5 small groups on Sunday. So we're going to do another one during the week. Okay? Well, they ain't that small, but they got groups. But we want all of you to consider either being in one or hosting one. Now, let me tell you what hosting one means. It means opening up your home. We'll send people to your house, or you can invite your neighbors or both. And all you got to do is put the DVD in and take the DVD out. And then there's questions in the book that all y'all talk about. You don't have to be the teacher. Just involve yourself in the discussion, and God is going to do the rest. You're going to get to know people. You're going to have fellowship. If you want to put some crackers out, you want to put some water out, or you just want to put a picture of food out, that's okay. I tell you, I had my small group last year, and the guys would come over all the time, and I never put anything out because, you know, I'm not a host. You know, they would come in, these guys sitting around, they're like, and my wife would say, did you get any drink? I'm like, oh, y'all want something to drink? Go ahead, it's in the kitchen, y'all. Just go ahead. I mean, I'm the wrong guy to be doing that, but you might want to have your wife around so people can have some place to sit. Look in verse 46. They continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. Every day people getting saved from these home churches. The needs that were met in this scenario are met by our church and the small group. They did all in one because they didn't have a church. Most of the teaching is going to be done here. The small group is going to enforce that, but you don't have to be a teacher. We just want you to open your home. Now, here's what I would like you to do, if you may. We're going to take a minute. The usher's going to come forward. Look at this card again. Top left, it says, there's a little space. If you would like to host one, 6 weeks in your home, we want you to check that box. If you want to join one, just check that box. And if you're already hosting one, and you're already hosting a small group, yet you want to host one of these, check the third box. We are looking for hundreds of hosts so we can get thousands of people in groups. And I want you to not only check the box, check one of the boxes, please. I want to collect them, but I want you to start thinking and praying about who you're going to invite, because you have friends, coworkers that will come over your house for 6 weeks, especially if you offer them some food. Maybe they're hungry. And come over your house and just let God do what he's going to do. We're going to have classes to teach you what you got to do and make it very simple. Okay? So right now, here's what we're going to do. If you have that card, if everyone can hold that card up real quick, hold the card up and just tear it off. Click, 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 click. There you go. There you go. And what we're going to do is we're going to collect them. Here's how I'm going to do this. That group over there, y'all raise your hand. Yeah, y'all. Okay, y'all. Very good. We're going to ask all y'all to pass it to the middle. We're going to ask all y'all to pass your cards over there. Same thing for y'all. Y'all going to pass it to that aisle. We're going to have all y'all pass it to your left. All y'all pass it to your right. Okay? And on the wall, if y'all could pass it to the back. Pass it all the way to the back. So let's do that for a minute. Just pass those cards, if you will. It'll take a minute. Pass those cards.
you're filling it out. You didn't fill it out before. I see that. Okay. Do, 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 do. We done? Anybody still have your card? Okay, we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take communion. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the ability and the opportunity to get to know each other. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to influence and transform our culture. You're the one who's going to do it, but I pray we would be available. And I pray we would all understand the need to be accountable to someone, to be in a group, to be connected, to enjoy community with one another and fellowship. So I pray that we would increase our groups and the influence of this church and the leverage of this church. And Lord, I pray now as we take communion that we would remember and acknowledge what you have done for us. Bless our communion in Jesus' name. Amen. Just hold the bread and the juice and we'll take it together.